Barbara?
When you have a HER2-positive patient, ERPR-positive versus negative, does that influence either the addition of lapatinib versus Herceptin, and or should we be using aromatase inhibitors and not tamoxifen in that setting?
Well, the tamoxifen question, I think, is come in the sense that most of the traditional older studies were done in women who were exposed to tamoxifen. There's little question that there's tamoxifen resistance when you're HER2-positive. Now, the counter-argument is that reversed when you have trastuzumab on board? Preclinically, the answer is yes. Clinically, it's unknown. Mm-hmm. Until the aromatase inhibitor study was just presented at ESMO that indicates that probably it is reversed. I think there was a debate whether AIs were better in HER2-positive patients than tamoxifen. One group of a very small study saying absolutely they were. Another group with a much larger study saying they weren't. Now I think there's data from the first group that agrees with the second group, that they are also resistant to AIs in the absence of HER2-directed therapy.
Okay.
So the combination of an AI and trastuzumab appears to be superior to the AI-based therapy alone. Half of your patients are ERPR negative, half of them are ERPR low. So when you talk about a HER2-positive, ER-positive patient, you're really talking about a HER2-positive, ER-low patient. So they are positive by the technical criteria, but they're not in the group that usually responds to hormonal manipulation. There are rare exceptions to that, but that's generally what we see. So I think the story's still evolving. And then one last thing to Hal's point. I think he's right that a lot of the things we learned in hormonal therapy is worth looking at, but I would caution against applying those rules to these peptide growth factor pathways, because I think it's going to be different.